Well, hey, glad that you're with us today, and been excited about this series in 2 Peter. We haven't made it very far. Shocking. We haven't made it very far. We're still on the same set of verses that we've been on for weeks and weeks, but we're flitting around, and I love it because it's so rich, and it's talking about, I was trying to think of how to explain this. There's a shift that happens. People that mature in Christ, hey, look at me for a second. Is anyone known, I don't know how to say this without it sounding, I don't mean this to be like negative or derogatory or picking on someone, but have you known anyone in your life, or maybe you at one point in your life kind of came to Jesus, but then that's kind of all, that's all, nothing ever happened. It's like Alan said this morning, it's easy to commit to Christ, it's hard to surrender, right? That thing? And but on the other hand, have you known people that have been faithful and victorious Christ followers? Yeah? It's like there's this flip that happens.
I think it's called milk and meat.
Yeah, milk and meat, absolutely. Yeah, it's this growing up. And let me just tell you guys, that's natural. It's supernaturally natural. That's part of the process of growing. But it's when we get stuck on the milk part. And there's a switch that flips, I feel like, and I don't know how to explain it, but it's kind of when you make your faith your own. You know what I mean? When you make your relationship with Christ your own, it becomes more personal as far as intimacy with Jesus goes. It becomes more personal as far as responsibility goes. It becomes more personal as far as this is real for me. You're not just relying, and I'm not really talking about any, I'm just talking about general, what I've kind of seen in my own life and in other people. When you make it yours, like you realize that you and Jesus can affect things. And I just got done earlier saying we need you to come to church. The flip side of that is you're not only totally reliant on someone else praying for you, someone else spoon-feeding you the Word of God. Someone, do you know what I'm saying? Because we love all that. We want all that. But you also take responsibility for your walk with Christ, and you start rooting in, and you start growing on your own, and you start realizing that, wow, there's things that I can do to change my growth. It's because a lot of times we'll say, well, I need to get to church more, and that's true. I agree 100% with that statement. I need to whatever, and kind of do it, but it's more of someone else is kind of doing it for me. And I sound for a second, a minute, just a little second, that I'm all for, like, I'm going to tell you every Sunday, we need the body, we need you, we need each other, we need you to pray for one another, we need you to lift each other, encourage one another. But the flip side of that is you also have this personal relationship with Jesus, and the people that tend to walk the forward the most and walk the longest with the Lord are the people that have somehow flipped that switch and realized, wow, not only can my pastor pray for me or Linda or somebody else or the worship team worship for me, I can do this on my own and then corporately and then minister. That's where people end up affecting other people's lives, because you're not just relying on someone to help you, which we all need help. Again, sounds like I'm saying two different things. I'm not. But in addition to that, you walk out your own faith. Now you become a minister of the faith. Not like with a collar and a title, but as Jesus intended, for all of us to be ministers. You're all ministers. You all have gifts. You all have talents. You all have spiritual giftings that the body of Christ needs. Amen. So that's what I like about this 2 Peter section. It's about us. Like, we get to participate in this. In verses 3 and 4, again, of chapter 1, his divine power has given us everything we need. Everything we need. Everything we need for a godly life, through our knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and goodness. And through his own glory and goodness, he's given us very great and precious promises. Talked about promises for 2 weeks now. So that through them you might participate in the divine nature, having escaped the corruption in the world caused by evil desires. And then we hung out on a verse from 2 Corinthians last week. For no matter how many promises God has made, they are yes in Jesus Christ. And so through him, the amen is spoken by us to the glory of God. And we found out that the yes means the absolutely, reliable and sure, absolutely, that this is for you. That the yes means that if you are in Christ, every promise of God for a believer is for you. You with me? Yes. 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 Peace like a river. Yes. Sustaining power. Yes. Those promises are yes. They're not kind of yes. They're not just for Stan. They're yes. They're for you in Christ. They're for you. And then we found out the really cool one that I love, the amen. The amen is, it's this word that means this is totally reliable and true and agreeable. And it doesn't just mean so be it. It does mean that. But it means in a number of instances in the Old Testament, in the Old Covenant, they would have the people say amen when they were agreeing to something, to a legal contract. It partially is used as a legally binding signature of a contract. You get it? So we kind of had this funny thing with I was going to buy a cow for $45 or something like that or whatever. So that was my agreement. And I said, amen, right? And so like that was think of it in America in 1890 as a handshake, right? If you shook hands on it, boy, it doesn't matter. Doesn't matter if you've got pneumonia. If you shook hands, that you're gonna crawl across the field. You'll get there. Your word is your bond. The handshake. That's kind of what amen was in the Old Testament and in the Hebrew culture. That amen. Well, it says that. Let me back up to the verse. It says that, and so through him, the amen is spoken. Stop there. So Jesus speaks the amen. But wait, go on. By us. So it's this. Amen, that is this legally binding contract. So Jesus makes the promise of whether it's that he'll never leave you or forsake you, or he's going to supply all your needs, or like he's going to, you'll have peace that passes understanding. There's thousands of promises in the Word of God. Whatever promise he makes to you, he makes it, and then he comes around to this side and brings you into him because we are in Christ. And he says, I'm going to say the amen. So it's the amen is spoken by us, but it's through him. So he legally binds himself to sign on the dotted line to the promise that we've signed Jesus' name to. That's really cool. I maybe didn't explain that very well, but Jesus makes the promise, and then Jesus signs the guarantee for it when we speak amen. And not just speaking amen, I mean the full understanding of, wow, it means that this is reliable. So he makes this promise, I'll never leave you or forsake you, right? He makes that promise. We look at that promise, we go, whoa, that's a yes. Hey, for me, that's a yes. I don't feel like it's a yes. I feel like you're far from me, God. But you made a promise, and I'm going to say amen. And what that amen means is, this promise is reliable. This piece of information is true. It's trustworthy. I can count on it, and it's a legal contract. All right, sign my name. You're going to be with me. Only I'm not signing my name. I'm signing Jesus' name because it's through him. So Jesus is now guaranteeing, as I say amen, it's through him. This is all a bunch of Bible legalese here. The Bible's a legal document. There's a legal authority that you have spiritually. We talked about that a little bit earlier. The devil will take what he can get. Also, the Christian will take what he or she can get in a good way, in the way that God prescribed. So there's an authority. There's a legal right and authority. Some of this is you're like, I just want to love Jesus. Well, that's good. But help you love Jesus better is when God makes a promise, I'll teach you all things. Oh, the Holy Spirit's going to teach me all that. That's a promise. You have the mind of Christ. Well, I can't learn things very well. No, I have the mind of Christ. Ooh, okay, that's true for me, right? The application of that. I'm going to say amen. That's reliable and trustworthy. And I'm going to, in a way that only because Jesus said I can, I'm going to hold him to his word. And I'm going to say amen to that. And what's happening is I'm signing on the dotted line, but I'm not signing my name. I'm signing the name of Jesus. And now Jesus is guaranteeing that he's going to fulfill that promise to him in me by a legal amen. I don't know if you got any of that. If you didn't, it's really good. The promises of God are yes and amen. We're going to talk about another word that goes right along with that and is part of that today. And it's this word here. faith. I don't know if you guys caught that or not. I was sounding it out. Faith. Faith. Faith and promises go together. Faith. It's this, this isn't a primer on faith, so I didn't include a bunch of definitions or whatever. Faith is a substance. It's the evidence of things not seen, of things hoped for. It's a literal spiritual substance. It's a working of a heart. It's an agreement that the trustworthiness of God is trustworthy. You see how it's so closely related to that amen? It's the same thing as the amen, but the faith is the part in us that sees and agrees. Faith is us. Faith is that spiritual gift of God in us that sees and agrees. I see that God is wanting to do this. I see that this is available. I see that this is a possibility in the Spirit, and I agree. The faith is that I agree that that's trustworthy. It's this agreement. It's this trust in God, taking Him at His word. This trustworthy agreement. I agree. I'm leaning into that. I'm taking you at your word. I was going to write it down, and I forgot. I looked it up last night. I didn't get a slide made out of it. But they were trying to define faith, and it's a language and a tribe that starts with an A. It's in Africa, I think it is, or South America. Doesn't matter. That just kind of narrows it down for you. But it's a word that I'd never heard before. And it's a true story. And he was trying to translate the Bible, and they were stuck on the word faith. And they didn't have a word for faith. And at least in the way that the Bible would use the word faith. And so the word that they were using means to hear. So, talking like this. You didn't hear. Like, you didn't hear that and understand it. So you didn't have faith in that moment. Which that's not what the biblical, like, if someone was distracted on their, well, not in the tribe, if carving a stick, I don't know what you do to be distracted when you're in a tribal setting. I don't mean to be weird, but just probably don't have cell phones, but if you got distracted and you didn't hear what was said, by that translation, you wouldn't have faith in that moment. And that's not at all what the biblical faith means. So he was frustrated and stuck. So the whole project was held up, and they wanted to get this translation done because people were hungry to read the Bible. And he had this epiphany one. And this is kind of where all of the other, almost every illustration you've probably heard on faith it comes from this old story, which is a true story. And so he was sitting there, and he just didn't know how else to explain it, and was a long time. And so one night, one of the tribesmen came in that spoke English, and he had this epiphany. He's like, "Hey, what am I doing here?" And they're like, "Well, you're sitting," and they said the word for it. And then he stood up, and he's like, "I'm standing up." And he's like, "Yeah, that's not really kind of what I'm looking for." And he's like, what am I doing now?" He picked his feet up, and the guy said, "Oh, you're leaning wholly upon it." That was the word in their language. You're leaning wholly upon it. That's the word that they used for faith in that tribe. Leaning wholly upon. I have faith that chair is going to hold me, or Alana's going to catch me. One of the two. I've got faith that this situation is going to work out all right. I don't have to wonder. I don't have to work it up. I don't have to mentally think through it. No, I trust. I lean wholly upon it. I trust. That's one of the definitions of faith, is you plant your life on it. You trust wholly in it. You lean upon it. Not just trust in it. Not just believe it. It goes beyond belief. It also includes belief. So sometimes that, you know, faith and belief are synonymous. But the fuller version of faith is you lean wholly. You lean upon it. And Pastor always used to talk about the old story. You guys have heard this one before. Guy was walking across, you know, carrying stuff across the big Niagara Falls or Grand Canyon or whatever, one of the big ones, or whatever, on the wheel, with the wheelbarrow, walking on the tightrope wire. I can't even think of what anything's called. The high wire, you know, and he gets from the one side, he carries a load of stuff over, you know, and he gets all the way over. They're like, "How many think I can do this?" And they're all, crowd's like, "Yeah, do you believe I can?" They're like, "Yeah." And so he finishes up. "How many believe I can get back to the other side?" They're all 100% of them. "Yeah, okay, you guys believe, don't you?" "Yeah, okay, who's going to get in the wheelbarrow?" Everyone believed, nobody had faith. Are you with me?
Yep.
No one would lean wholly upon it. Are you? Do you get it?
Yeah.
I felt like that crystallized for us. Believing is part of faith. It absolutely is. Just believe, Jesus will even say at times. But that's not always kind of the word. Like, we believe he could get across with the wheelbarrow. Okay, well, get in the wheelbarrow then. Because he just carried, 200 pounds of bricks over. You know he can do it with that much weight. Do you believe? Will you lean wholly upon it? That's different than just mentally ascending to it. I think a lot of our Christianity ends up with mental ascent. I believe, yeah, absolutely, I believe the Lord. Abraham believed God and it was counted to him as a righteousness. He just didn't think, oh, God's right. Now, don't get me wrong. That's absolutely, 100% a part of it. But it's too thin of a definition. He leaned his life wholly upon it. He believed it. He took God at his word. He believed it. Leaned upon it. So we're going to look at just a couple of verses that tie faith and promises together. James 2:5 says this, "Listen, my dear brothers and sisters, has not God chosen the poor in the eyes of the world to be rich in faith and inherit the kingdom he promised? Has he not ordained them to be those to be in the world to be rich in what? Faith and inherit the kingdom he what? Promised." Faith is a connection point to the promises of God. Let's look at some more verses. Romans 4:16. Therefore, hold the phone. The promise comes by faith. The promise comes by faith. The promise comes by faith. The promise, this promise that God made, it comes to me by faith. The promise comes generally by God. It comes to me personally by faith. Yeah. Nod your heads in slight agreement.
Yeah. Yeah.
My faith, which is a gift from God anyways, but my faith that he lets me use and cultivate and dwell within me, looks at that promise, I say amen to it, and then I begin to lean my life. I get in the wheelbarrow. I lean wholly upon it. My emotions are telling me that you're alone. God is far off. And I use this one just because we've all felt this, right? There's thousands of promises. But I use the never leave me or forsake me one because it's just we can all relate to that. God, I feel like you're a million miles off. I feel like you don't even know who I am. But I see that promise. I know it's yes for me. I say amen. That's trustworthy and reliable. I'm going to sign the legal contract. Amen, God. Amen. You will never leave me or forsake me. Amen. I am in Christ and he is in me. Amen. I'm saying amen to that promise. Not because I hope it's true. I know it's true. It's reliable. I'm saying amen. I'm legally binding Jesus to do what he said he would do. Fulfill that promise in my life. Now I'm going beyond my emotions and I'm leaning into that. And I start acting differently. I start thinking differently. I start behaving differently because I believe that promise is true. I'm now leaning upon it, right? I just got in the wheelbarrow. Okay, I don't know what needs to change inside. I don't know. Maybe go, I don't know. Stop listening to something. Start listening to something. I don't know what needs to change, but my emotions are telling me something's not true because I know the word of God is true. That's what faith does. That's where the difference is between belief. That's where Christians that get stuck and need to move forward get kind of stuck because they're on the belief side. They believe, oh, I believe God. Well, sure, God could do that. Absolutely. Oh, I believe that. Are you leaning wholly upon it? Well, hey, tell you what. If God wants to do it, he'll just do it. It's a lot easier to do that than to exercise your faith. They call it exercising your faith because exercise, it's no fun. It's hard. Just Taylor and I were just talking about the other day about the value of doing hard things. Do hard things. He's like, Dad, that's so important. You just got to do hard things. Things you don't want to do. Things that are just difficult. Not always taking the easy way out. Now, he and I would love to always take the easy way out. I'm not saying that like it doesn't come naturally, but you got to do hard things. Faith is a hard thing. It takes work. It's easier to just say, well, bless God. If he wants to do that for me, he'll do that for me. But he invites us into the process. He invites us to get in the wheelbarrow. Well, wait a minute. The wheelbarrow is a scary place. Faith can be a scary place, but he's a trustworthy God. And so we start leaning into that. We start leaning into it. The promise comes by faith. Hold on. The promise comes by faith. Look at here. To those who have the faith of Abraham. Wow. Promise comes by faith so that it may be by grace and it may be guaranteed to all of Abraham's offspring, not only to those who are of the law, but us, to those who have the faith of Abraham. He's the promise of us all. He's the father of us all. It goes on in verse 20 of Romans chapter 4. Abraham never wavered in believing God's promise. Right? So I'm not saying that it's not believing. It's true. But he leaned his life wholly upon it, believing in God's promise. In fact, his faith grew stronger. Wait a minute. His faith, what? It grew. So wait a minute. Faith is malleable? Faith can grow? Faith can get smaller or bigger? Hold the phone, Jack. It's right up there. In fact, his faith, what? Grew stronger. Read it with me. In fact, his faith grew stronger. All right, the rest of you now this time. In fact, his faith grew stronger. You can cultivate and grow your faith. I might not have the faith to get in the wheelbarrow today, but I'm coming back tomorrow. I'm going to ponder this tonight. I'm going to cultivate that. You've crossed this ravine 397 times just in the last year. Okay, I'm going to become convinced that you can. I'm going to get in the wheelbarrow, right? And how much more with God, who's perfect and infallible? We're going to start leaning upon it. We're going to let our faith grow stronger. He was fully convinced that God is able to do whatever he promises. And because of Abraham's faith, God counted him as righteous. How cool is that? That there's these promises of God, these promises that God puts out there, and we get to interact with those and start experiencing his faith grew. Your faith can grow. How many want to have stronger faith at the end of this year than at the beginning of this year? Amen. Right? Come on. We got to exercise our faith. Remember the remember seeing the old black and white pictures? Those belt things? Remember? No, don't remember those? They're just supposed to shake the fat off. Guess how much fat they shook off? None. Because you got to work. We're always looking for the easy way out. Give me the pill. Give me the thing that does the work for me because I don't want to do the work because that's no fun. But his faith grew. How does something grow? Got to exercise it. You got to exercise it. You can do this. You can do this. Galatians 3:14. He redeemed us in order that the blessing given to Abraham. Whoa, wait a minute. Hold the phone. Wait a minute. Let's start at the beginning of this. He redeemed us. Who's us? It's you. It's us. He redeemed us in order that the blessing given to Abraham might come to the Gentiles. Raise your hand if you are of natural Jewish, you have Jewish heritage. All right, you're Gentiles. Okay? That's just what that means. To the people that are not Jews by bloodline. That blessing is going to come to the Gentiles. Oh, how? Through Christ. Right there. It's through Christ. All this is through Christ. It's in him. All these things are unlocked. So that by faith we might receive the promise of the Spirit. Let's look at this a minute. So that by faith we might receive the promise of the Spirit. So what? By faith. So that by faith. We are going to unlock. You ever seen those big old skeleton keys? Imagine having one of those or someone gets a key to the city. That doesn't actually unlock anything, but like a skeleton key. Big old key. God's given you that key. Wow. Look at you. You're in the next room. No, I'm right here. Hey, you're in the basement. Nope, I'm right here. Well, there's locked doors all around you, but you're still just right here. But you've got a key. Faith is that key. Okay, remember now, faith isn't just believing. It's believing and leaning totally upon it. So you start leaning upon these promises of God, even though your emotions are telling you something different, your friends might be telling you something different, society is telling you something different, circumstances are telling you something different. You start acting, thinking, and reacting like faith is telling you how, according to the promise of God. That he's your sustainer. That he's a friend that sticks closer than a brother. Go on and on and on. These promises will go. Thousands of them. So now you've got this key. Well, the only way to use that key, the key is faith. How many doors does that open sitting in your pocket? Not a one. You've got that faith until you use it, until you exercise it, until you put it in the door hole key thing. What is keyhole? And I was like, all of those are in there. What is that called? And you turn it. Then the door opens, right? The faith of God. The faith. By faith, we're going to receive the promise. By faith, we're going to receive the promise. By faith, we might receive the promise. By faith, we might receive. We're going to receive. What the word for receive here is that I didn't put the Greek up there, but almost every definition is like take. And this isn't like in an arrogant sense. This is in an active sense. So, hey, who took the last cookie? That's like unthoughtful. Who's taking the blessings of God? That's not unthoughtful. That's what Jesus wants us to do. Are you with me? So it doesn't mean the kind of take like, hey, who took my keys, right? Who took, right? It doesn't mean that. It doesn't mean like take like stolen or aggressive. It means obedient, right? That's what this kind of take means. It means to take with the hand, to lay a hold of, or using it, right? To take upon oneself, to take in order to carry away, to take what is one's own, to take to oneself, to make it your own, to claim, listen to this one, to claim or procure for oneself, or to admit, to receive, that's how it's translated in this verse, to receive what is offered. If I hand you a Coke, and I just kind of hold it out there, and Jim's like, thanks for that. Thank you for that. I'm so thirsty. Thanks. Like, that's great. You are, like, man, probably the best son-in-law I have. That's a true story. He's just like, I can't imagine my life without you. Like, not another second. I'm like, it's good, huh? And it's just dripping with the, you know, condensation. And he's just like, I'm so thirsty. Thanks for thinking of me. You are the most thoughtful. Most, you know, just every good thing that I've ever heard about you is double true, right? And that's kind of where it ends. I leave with a Coke and he leaves still thirsty. Because he did not. He didn't take it. He didn't receive it, right? It was there. He acknowledged it. He believed I was handing him a Coke, but he didn't activate. He didn't go through the actual receiving it. And so many of the promises of God, oh, hey, we see him. We believe him. Yeah, that might even maybe be for me. Okay, amen, whatever. But we don't apply that to our life. We don't start acting and behaving like this promise really is true in my life. We don't activate our faith because the faith is what receives it. By faith, we receive the promise. By faith, we receive the promise. So it's not just saying amen. It's saying that amen by faith, and then it's starting to change our life to come into agreement with that promise of God. Start seeing it fulfilled in our life. The promise of God supplies something for us. Faith activates that, and it makes us personally ours. Because God wants this. He wants us to participate in this. God's desire for us is not to just be robots, not just to be automatic. So there's a problem. God had a solution, but there's a problem. Let me take you to the problem. Here's the problem. Genesis 1, 3, 9, and 11. And God said, let there be light, and there was light. And God said, let the water under the sky be gathered to one place, and let dry ground appear. And it was so. Then God said, let the land produce vegetation, seed-bearing plants, and trees on the land that bear fruit with seed in it, according to their various kinds. And it was so. That's a problem. Why is that a problem? God said, and there was. God said, and it was so. God said, and it was so. So here's what's the problem. Because God wants our involvement, God wants us to willingly partner with him. God wants to not force us, but wants us to come of our own accord, wants to surrender our heart, wants to pour into our lives, but he wants us on this side of the equation, draw near. God says this in James, draw near to me and I'll draw near to you. And there's just all kinds of scriptures about that, about our involvement. He wants our involvement. So if there was all these awesome things that God wanted to do for you and he just spoke it over your life, it would just be. God said, and there was. God said, and it was so. God said, and it was so. So here's the problem. How does God get his heart and his thoughts and his provision out for you without just doing it? See, because he wants us to be able, he doesn't want us to reject him, but he values free will so much that he wants us to be able to not claim the, not receive the benefits of God, to not, he doesn't want that. He wants all, the Bible says he wants all to come to Christ. That's his heart. That's what he wants. So how does he bless without making it automatically so? He crafted this because look at this verse. No word from God, that's Luke 1:31, an angel said that talking to Mary. No word from God will ever fail. So if God just started speaking out blessings over your life, guess what would happen? It would just start happening. And you would have no choice in the matter, and it would be against your will. Even if it's what you wanted, it would just be him forcing himself upon you. He always wants to protect free will. But he's like, how do I get all of this power out for you without forcing you to take that power and to use it? How do I do that? He said, I'm going to do it like this. You know what that is? It's the same as, it's a different picture, but it's the same as this. This is real. If you can catch me, you can have it. That's not true. I'm pretty slow. This is a Visa gift card. Someone gave it to us for a gift. It is they preloaded money onto this card. I didn't preload the money onto this card. And it's guaranteed to produce what's on here. Right? But if I put it back in my pocket and I run up to the gas station and I get out and I put gas in my car and I hang the thing back up and I put the little deal on and I start driving away and they come running out of the store. Hey, you got to pay for that. And I'm like, I got a Visa in my pocket and I drive away. Guess what the next thing I'm going to see is? Whoop, whoop. Because I did not activate that. Do I have the Visa gift card or not? Yes. Is there real money on it? Yes. Did it get utilized?
No. Oh.
Is that a problem?
Yes.
You're all with me. So that's what God, that's the vehicle, that's the container. I want you to catch this. Every provision that God has, every bit of power that God has for you, every answered prayer that he has for you, every need that you have, he already said, so be it. Wait a minute, I can't say that or it's just going to be, and then it's going to be flexing you against your will. If you, yeah, then you can have it. And he puts it in a promise. I will never leave you. I'm with you always, right? He puts these things in promises, and then there's all this power just waiting to be unlocked, right? And we get to, by faith, then unlock it. Now we're active participants. We're signing Jesus' name on the dotted line. It's his name. It's his power. It's his provision. It's his legal obligation to fulfill it in our life. It's his faith that he gives us. We're just using that to unlock what God wanted to give us to begin with, but didn't want to go against our will. So he puts it in promise form. Are you with me? Isn't that cool? So now you got all these nuggets of promise. Well, why doesn't God just do it? Because he values your participation. Adam, what are you going to name all these things? He likes that. Hey, Linda, What are you going to believe for this week? I've got so many promises for you. Which one are you going to cash in? Hey, God, here's the deal. And you look at that promise. You say amen. And then you use your faith, right? But the faith is you got to use it. You got to put it in the little thing. Now, here's the deal. We had one of these a number of years ago, probably 6-7 years ago. And we knew there was money on it. We could not get our faith to work. We tried it at multiple places. But did we throw it away? Like, well, this is junk. Did we stop trying to use it? This doesn't work. No. We called them, and they say, we guarantee that this is whatever was on there, I don't know, $50 or whatever. We guarantee that there is $50 still on there. So we kept trying. We kept putting it into practice in our life. Are you with me? We didn't throw it away the first time it didn't work. We had their word that this is what was available. And so we kept trying. And finally, it worked. But we're activating. Our faith was growing. Faith was growing. I know that's not a one-to-one analogy. Wait, right? You're talking about spiritual things. It's not going to be perfect. But at least it can, in my pocket, if my faith stays in my pocket, oh, I believe God can do whatever he wants to do. Come on, man. You got thousands of promises, and it requires a little bit of work from you. And that's why baby Christians often stay baby Christians. Well, my pastor, he knows how to do all that stuff. Oh, the people in church, they know how to pray really good. Come on, man. All these promises are sitting like, psh, how many of these do you want? We got tons of them. And you just collect them all, and you put them in scrapbooks. How weird would it be if you went to someone's house for coffee one day and they're like, oh, I got to show you this. And they pull out their scrapbook and it's just gift cards. And they're in the little slidey things. They're all laminated in there. Oh, I love that. And this one's got a peacock on it and his feathers. Oh, it's so beautiful. Like, dude, you got like thousands of dollars there. No, they're so pretty. I like them. I like to keep them right here. Useless. It's useless. You've got to use, and this is your faith. You've got the promises of God. They're preloaded. The promises of God are preloaded. They're preloaded. You can't do anything to add to them. That's God's end. You use your faith, which is Jesus' faith that he's borrowing you anyways, and you say, all right, amen, God, this promise is for me. Oh, it didn't work the first time. Pastor, I tried it. It didn't work that one time. Well, if you have that same effect with your Visa cards, bring them to me. We tried it. It doesn't work. I'll take them. If we would use our Visa gift cards like that, it would be a bad deal. Don't use your faith like that. I tried it once. I didn't feel any better. Yeah. The fault is not with God. The fault is not with his promise. Grow your faith. Grow your faith. That might be hard words, but come on, buggers, grow your faith. Oh, you're going to love it. You are going to be so vibrantly alive when you do. When you start leaning on the promises of God and you start seeing them fulfilled in your life, you're going to be like, dude, why didn't nobody tell me about this earlier? That was like me and Jesus, and this thing is so cool. I didn't even have to go to church for that. Then I went to church and told everybody about it. It was so awesome because it's your faith. It's your faith. It's Crystal's faith. Absolutely. It's Joe's faith. It's Alan's faith, right? That engages that and pulls that promise of God into your life personally. A couple A.W. Tozer quotes. He says, a church is strong or weak just as it holds to a high or a low idea of God. For faith, listen to this line. Faith rests not primarily on promises, but upon character. That's why we spent time talking about who is God. A believer's faith can never rise higher than his conception of God. A promise is never better or worse than the character of the one who makes it. Come on, church. An inadequate conception of God must result in weak faith, for faith depends upon the character of God just as a building rests upon its foundation. That's why we keep talking about the goodness of God. He is faithful. He's true. He's reliable. This is who he is. Well, it doesn't look like that. It doesn't matter. This is who he is. We've got to know that we know who God is, who the word of God tells us who that God is. He goes on, he says this, we need today a fresh spirit of anticipation that springs out of the promises of God, right? No spirit of Nazareth in this place. We're not going to be take things for granted and just say, oh yeah, that happens. No, come on. We're going to anticipate what God is doing. We must declare war on the mood of non-expectation and come together with childlike faith. Only then can we know the beauty and wonder of the Lord's presence among us. True faith is never found alone. It's always accompanied by expectation. The man who believes the promises of God expects to see them fulfilled. Where there is no expectation, there is no faith. I expect to pay for my gas. The card's in my hand. It's in the slot thing, or hand it to the gal behind the counter. It's in action. It's working. I'm expecting there to be a result. I'm expecting there to be a result. I'm expecting there to be a result. Let's finish up with one verse. Two slides of one verse. Two different versions. It says this, Hebrews 6, 11 and 12. We want each of you to show this same diligence to the very end, so that what you hope for might be fully realized, right? Expectation. We do not want you to become lazy. Seems like we were just talking about that. Faith takes work, right? Exercise your faith. Get off your spiritual rumpus. Get with it. Get moving. Take the promises of God. Lean in with your faith. We do not want you to become lazy, but to imitate those who, through faith and what Stephen said 2 weeks ago, patience, inherit what's been promised. Come on. You're activating your faith, and you're enduring. You're waiting. You're like, sometimes it takes patience, but you're not saying, oh, this chair is garbage. It didn't work. I just sat there, right? You just lean into it. Try that Visa card. No, that doesn't work. Man, call the company. They'll guarantee that what's on there. It's like, maybe there's a problem in translation here. I don't know. What about the card reader thing? You keep trying. You keep persevering. The same verse in a different version says, our great desire is that you will keep on loving others as long as life lasts in order to make certain that what you hope for will come true. Then you will not become spiritually dull and indifferent. Don't be that. Don't be spiritually dull and indifferent. Be vivaciously alive, vibrant and full of life. Instead, you will follow the example of those who are going to inherit God's promises because of their faith and endurance. That's what we have to say to you today. Activate your faith. Put it to work. The promises are yes. They are 100% for you. Say for me. They're for you. And then they're amen. They are legally yours. Because Jesus is signing on the dotted line when you say amen. Jesus signs on the dotted line when you say amen. You're signing his name. You're agreeing with that. You're applying it to your life. And then take your faith. Start living like it. Start lean holy. Don't just believe it. Lean upon that promise. Lean upon it. Amen? Amen. That's good stuff. Yeah. I like it. I expect there's going to be fruit from that in our lives. And we're already seeing it. We're already seeing it. Thank you, Jesus. Let's pray. God, we just thank you for a great day today. We thank you for people moving out of darkness and into light in every area of our lives. We thank you that you're cultivating faith in us. You're growing our faith, making it stronger, helping us to lean upon and experience divine life through the promises of God. We thank you for your promises that are yes and amen. And we just appropriate them this morning, God. We just thank you that you're teaching us. Ask that you be with us this week. Give us the power to walk this world in white. In Jesus' name. Everyone said, amen. Amen.